Welcome to Why Fish Radio. Why Fish is brought to you by Today's Tackle, Cats on the Red, and Trophy Cat Adventures. Now, here they are, Brad and Brad.
Wow, what a great new intro. Just a great addition to Why Fish. I think John outdid himself. What do you think, Brad?
I think it was a much-needed change. Gives the show a whole new flavor, a whole new sound. I mean, we're entering our second full year of operation. It was time for a little turnaround, and it's a refreshing change of pace.
No kidding. And it spices things up. I think that's kind of the direction we're going to go with the show. But, you know, coming back, it's been a couple of weeks since you've been around. What have you been up to in the last couple of weeks?
In terms of fishing-wise, only had a chance to get out once, I guess, and that was last weekend with you. So not off to exactly a wild and fast, furious start to January as far as fishing, you know, as the month is winding down here. Just got to kind of hope for some better things ahead. Had a little bit of work I had to do the weekend before last. And, of course, last weekend we made a trip over to Devil's Lake in North Dakota there. Got bitten by the weather bug a little bit, but Northern Pike cooperated pretty well. And just have to hope for the walleyes for a different day, a better day.
Yeah, you know, the old low-pressure system moving through seems to just have a habit of shutting walleyes off, and I guess we'll just kind of write that one off as the weather bit us in the butt. But, you know, 2 weeks ago I was with Rob Horkin on the show because you were up doing a story on some open water fishing in January, and I even told the listeners that. How did that end up for you?
You know, to tell you the truth, it was just an amazing experience because, I mean, here we are on a boat on the Minnesota-Ontario border on the first days of January, which absolutely is not supposed to be happening. Just, you know, a perfect example of just how freaky this winter has been. But there we were, you know, pulled up to the boat landing, and there was a very lonely-looking fish house sitting on shore. Probably had been out there at one time a couple of weeks earlier, but the owner finally had to give up, succumb to just a freakish winter, and pull it off. But fishing wasn't too bad. We ended up caught probably a dozen walleyes that afternoon, and no big fish, but they were all kind of the nice eater variety. There were a few icebergs floating around out there, but I guess that is to be expected since it was January. Again, it was just an amazing thing.
Well, just kind of an odd experience, like you say, in January, and I believe I mentioned that two shows ago. And, you know, something else that happened last week, and the fact that you were absent last week wasn't your fault. It was basically the fault of nature that I had the opportunity to meet Dave Gens for the first time and interview him. And I hope all you folks got to listen to last week's show. And if you haven't, please go back and take a listen to it, because I think you'll find out that Dave comes from humble beginnings just like the rest of us to become who he is now in Mr. Ice Fishing. And Brad, I know you've had opportunities over the years to visit with Dave, and unfortunately, you didn't get to join me on this particular interview.
Well, I'm certainly glad you got a chance to meet him, because like you say, he really is a true success story in ice fishing. And, you know, without a doubt, you know, the guru who has taken ice fishing from very humble beginnings, you know, the days of a pointed stick jabbed into the ice and staring at a bobber, to a much more modern, sort of a proactive approach to fishing. I mean, you know, he's the godfather of mobility and, you know, inventor of the fish trap, fish house. A lot of stories behind that guy. And, you know, just great that you had a chance to spend a few hours with him and talk fishing a little bit. And he's never afraid to talk fishing. That's another great thing about him. I actually, I had a chance to meet Dave and fish with him for the first time. I guess it's better than 10 years ago now. I was with my old buddy Greg Colaggio there, who put together that trip, the first of many he's put together over the years, on a lake in Itasca County that I guess probably should remain nameless. But at any rate, had a chance to meet Dave that trip, and he actually set me up with a Vexlar. The very first time I'd ever fished with a Vexlar was an old FL8, and I've never gone back. I got back to Grand Forks that Monday, and I went out that very next night, and I bought myself a Vexlar. Haven't fished without him since. So, you know, without a doubt, his influence on the way I ice fish, and you know, thousands of other people, it's a unmistakable force.
Well, you know, I obviously never got such a dramatic intro to the Vexlar, but I, as well as many, and we've mentioned it here before, and I'm sure we'll mention it here again, once you fish with one, it sure is rough to fish without one.
Oh, there's no question. It opens up a whole new world of what's going on under the water, keeps you involved with the whole process, and you know, it's just one small part of the puzzle, I guess, that's modern ice fishing, but it's a pretty big part. And at the same time, you know, Dave has been at the forefront of it all along, and it was a neat interview. I thought it worked out really well, and like Brad was saying there, any of you who haven't had a chance to check out that interview yet, log on and tune in right now, because it really, really tells a nice little story.
It's show number 54, and I think if you're familiar with the work of Ice Team and Dave Gens over the years, you know, fishing is tends to be marketing, and that's his job as a professional fisherman. But in this particular interview, he does take it right back down to the beginning steps, to from the hand crank auger to the stick with a point in the end, and hand over hand, just so the average person can get started. And that's what we've been preaching, and I think it was refreshing to hear a guy like that say that it can be done that way. And in fact, he said that's how you should start, just to decide if you like it or you want to pursue it any further.
Well, and it was fun to go back and listen to, you know, just how far things have progressed and, you know, where we've come from over the past few years, and what better person to do it.
Absolutely. So, again, if you didn't get to hear it last week, it's show number 54. This is show number 55, so I hope you enjoy it. And it's just was a treat to meet him and interview him. But onward and upward. You know, we were just mentioning a little while ago about how the fishing at Devil's Lake this past weekend was not that great, I guess, as far as the catching end of things, but we did get something accomplished. And if you've been to the front page of the site before you got here, you will see that we have something new. We were able to catch a few northern pike and make a video on how to finally cut those Y bones out. It's just been time and time and time again, people saying, gosh, you know, I'd eat those pike, but I just can't get those stupid bones out of there. And, you know, I like pike if somebody cuts the bones out, but until I learn how to cut the bones out, I'm just going to throw them away. Well, I think we took care of that. What do you think, Brad?
Well, there's no question we did. And, you know, I have to admit, I actually learned how to do it now. I've sort of shied away from cleaning northern pike over the years for that exact reason. And it's really relatively easy, but I guess I can't use that excuse anymore. It's a pretty useful little sequence of a video there that helps to, I think, really quite effectively and very simply lay out how to get those bones out. And, you know, that's the beauty of it. It's not that difficult. There's not that many steps. A couple of, you know, knife strokes here and there, and wham, those bones are gone.
I have to do it. I just have to make fun of my dad. He watched us actually shoot the video, and from what I hear, his first cleaning experience still didn't go all that well. But hey, you gotta butcher a few to learn how to do it, I think. I had to.
Absolutely, you have to. I remember some of the first less than stellar efforts I had with, you know, cleaning fish, and that's, we're talking, oh man, we're talking 30 years ago right now. It's a long time ago. But it's, you know, it's like anything else. The more you do it, the better you get at it, and you got to start from somewhere, and that somewhere is usually a little bit choppy and butchery, you know, to start out with. But you do it a few times, and it gets progressively easier, and, you know, like I say, a couple of extra knife strokes there to get those Y bones out, and you've got yourself a pretty good eating fish. And I guess, you know, in many ways for me so far, this has been the winter of the pike. It's been the winter of the tip up. I've had a lot of fun with it, and you know, I know there's those snobs out there that will turn up their noses at the sight of a northern pike, and I'm not going to fish those things. But I tell you what, you're missing out on a great part of winter. They saved this last weekend.
Well, absolutely. Again, they saved it. And, you know, going back to the two extra and the you got to do it, practice makes perfect. I mean, sure, I have people tell me I'm good at cleaning walleyes, but, you know, I've cleaned a few hundred walleyes in my day. That's how you get good at it. And I hope there's a lesson to be learned there. And I hope we've done you all a good service with this video. And, you know, if there's anything else you'd like to learn, we may not know it, but we'll certainly try to learn it and get some more videos up, because I think that's going to prove to be probably the best informational tool we've come up with yet, besides the radio show.
Well, personally, I'd never seen anything out there up to this point that was anything other than a series of, you know, maybe less than ideal drawings or some photographs that really didn't maybe tell the story as well as it should have been told. I mean, it's one thing to look at a picture. You know, for me, it's kind of like trying to follow the easy-to-read instructions to put a piece of furniture together. You know, they could often be just as well be written in Swahili. You know, you look at it and you think, how does that work now? But when you put it on video and you can actually see, you know, see how the knife is, you know, the knife strokes are made, see how the knife is positioned. I mean, you're actually watching this happen as opposed to watching a still photo. For me, anyway, it's easier to follow, and I think, you know, other folks out there are going to find the same thing.
Well, I hope everybody likes it. Like I said, it's on the front page of the site. If you like what you see, take the link, send it to your friends, do whatever. We just hope that in the long run of things that it helps you learn and helps you enjoy more pike and fishing in general. And, you know, maybe you can finally take a few home and feel good about it, the table fare that it has to come. Enough on that, I guess, for this particular week. Anything planned for trips in the next week or so, Brad?
Well, I'm trying to think of the next thing I've got on my agenda. I guess taking a trip to Upper Red Lake in Minnesota here this coming Monday and Tuesday. Going to hopefully try to chase a few crappies out there. Of course, that's the fish that's put that lake on the map here in northern Minnesota the past few years. Crappies are a little less abundant these days, but the walleyes are coming back in a big way. And, of course, season on walleyes actually reopens again this year in mid-May for the first time since 1999. There will be a walleye opener on Red Lake. It's going to be exciting. But, you know, crappies are going to be the name of the game when we go. I don't have my hopes real high. Like I say, the reports aren't stellar. We'll probably catch plenty of walleyes to keep us busy, and I tell you what, there's worse things for me than being able to catch and release a bunch of walleyes, too. So either way, it'll be a nice couple of days out on the ice there in a lake I haven't fished at for a while. So just looking forward to getting out there and hoping to, you know, like I say, if we get some crappies, great. If we don't, that's fine, too.
Well, and I'm sure you'll have a report for us. Duty calls at my day job, so there will be no fishing for this guy this weekend, but I'll make up for it the next weekend and the weekend after and probably the weekend after that, so I'll survive. Another thing that came up today, I was reminded by our good friend Stu up at Cats on the Red that open water fishing is just around the corner, and to get your bookings. He actually sent me an email to say get your bookings now because the open water season's around the corner.
Well, that's one of those little teasers that really does go a long way to, you know, sort of getting you through the winter, gives you something to look forward to. That trip up there has become such a highlight over the past few years. I mean, just the chance to, you know, not only meet some new friends up there that we've, you know, really gotten to know well over the years, but the chance to do battle with those fish, which are really something special. And it's a really strong testimonial, I think, to the power of catch and release fishing. I mean, as a result of that, they've been able to maintain a trophy catfish fishery up there that I think is absolutely second to none for channel catfish. Absolute blast. I mean, I try to think of a bad trip I've had up there catfishing, and I can't think of one.
Well, I certainly haven't had one. So check them out on the web, catsonthered.net. I was just on there today. Rates are updated, and they're taking reservations, so don't miss out on that trip. Since we're talking about sponsors, don't forget to sign up for the guided trip on the Red River with Ken Hollins at Trophy Cat Adventures. We forgot to mention that. I was so excited to talk with Dave Gens last week, I forgot to put it in a show. But I did put it in the blog, so everything was great. Just all you got to do, you can enter once a week now through May. Just send me an email with your name, address, and telephone number to contest@yfishradio.com. We'll put you right in for that drawing that will be held sometime in May, and we'll be announcing the winner. And I think that's going to be just a dandy for whoever gets that trip this year.
Well, if it's anything like last year's, which, I mean, you rate a trip on a scale from 1 to 10, that one was probably a 10 right out of the starting gate. You know, it was a newcomer to the Red River, had just a fantastic afternoon out there, and it's kind of a no-brainer, I think. Sign up for that contest because it's a chance to win a great fishing trip. So, like Brad said, follow the instructions, do what he says, sign up for that contest, and have some fun.
And last but not least, I had a Rod Rocker experience, and you got to see it. Unfortunately, there was no fish at the end. That darn Today's Tackle Rod Rocker 2 is just amazing me to death. I mean, I sat and stared at that thing forever with that slow walleye bite, and bam, down it went. But I was just a little too slow.
Yeah, it's you know, I'm not sure exactly how long that rod had been down, but it is. It's a very ingenious device. It's a great little ice fishing tool. And, of course, I guess I'd have to say for me so far, one of the highlights of the winter was watching that rod bent over toward the ice when I picked it up and reeled in that 26.5-inch walleye on the Red River up north of Selkirk before Christmas. Just a perfect example of you know, what a fine little product he's got going there. So Another one of those things, check him out on the web. That's www.todaystackle.com, home of the Ice Buster Bobber, the Rod Rocker, and a whole host of other great ice fishing products.
Well, I think that's going to do it for us for another week. Hopefully, you get the chance to listen to the Dave Gens interview, because I think there's a lot to be had in there. Hopefully, you enjoy the Northern Pike video on how to finally cut the Y bones out. And hopefully, you helped our sponsors who keep us on the air week in and week out, whether you like it or not. So take it away, Brad.
Well, until next time, keep your hook in the water, keep your line tight, and most of all, keep it fun.
Thank you for listening to Why Fish Radio. Be sure to tune in next time for another Adventures in Fishing. For more information, log on to whyfishradio.com.